I'm Eric Thiel. We've got another great live session for you here on this Friday afternoon. Making the way down to the state of Jefferson from Portland, Shook Twins are here. Welcome to Jefferson Public Radio, you guys. Let's talk about where you guys are from. Sandpoint, Idaho. So yep. Idaho Panhandle. But these days, Portland.
Yep.
You have relocated.
Yeah, we've been living in Portland for about 2.5 years. Moved from a small town to a small city, so it was a nice transition.
And for folks who have not seen our web post on today's live session or have not visited your website, you are identical twins.
Yep.
So that leads to the question, who's older?
I am. And you'll never know who that is.
Well, we should break that down. So Caitlin, guitars and vocals and other interesting paraphernalia that you bring on stage to play,
yes.
Right? Lori on banjo and lute pedals from time to time and vocals. Mm-hmm. And then you've also brought a couple of friends. It's twins, but it's a quartet, right?
Yes.
Kyle Volkman is here on bass. Hello over there.
Hello.
And Anna Tivel is here on violin or fiddle. What's your preference? Whatever. It's what she has.
Yeah.
It's what she has.
Fiddle in.
Cool. You've got a new album out called Window that we got back in January of this year. I find it interesting that despite being identical twins, and perhaps it's just because I never really gave a lot of thought to it, you guys have ended up with different vocal ranges,
yeah.
Which I find interesting. Caitlin, you sing, what, soprano or alto?
Yeah, I'm definitely the higher voice lately. In high school and college, we were in choir, actually since fifth grade, and we were always sopranos together. But Lori's always had a little bit of lower range. And then since we've been playing music for the past 7 or so years together, it's definitely developed. I've stretched the chords. Once I started singing opera, it really stretched them out.
Yeah. So how does that work with the two of you then? I mean, when you started out, were they very similar? When you
yeah.
started out singing as girls together?
Yeah, totally. We had really high voices. Mm-hmm. And now mine's really low.
Right. So was there a point where all of a sudden you weren't able to sing in unison anymore, or it was a bit of a struggle?
No. I mean, we still have basically the same vocal range. Mm-hmm. I can just go a little bit lower, so I do. Mm-hmm. And I can go a little higher.
Right. And speaking of genetic traits, I've read that neither of you are able to play a decent bar chord.
Yeah, we have curled pinkies. We were born that way. You can't see them out there in the real world.
But mine's a 90-degree angle.
Yeah, Lori's is a little creepier than mine. And my left hand, my chord hand, is my pinky's a little bit straighter, so I can do a fairly decent bar chord, but really it's just kind of our excuse because we hate bar chords.
they're hard and they hurt.
So it was choir for both of you when you were younger?
Yeah.
As opposed to playing an instrument?
Yeah, we didn't start playing instruments until we were about 18.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And was there music at home, or was it primarily something you did at school?
This is Dad's guitar that he passed on.
Cool.
To Caitlin. Mm-hmm. He got it when he was 25, and so he plays, but he taught us everything he knew.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
passed.
Mm-hmm. And
but
did
we
you,
play together still.
Did you guys do any switching of instruments when you were younger? I mean, I know there are a lot of famous stories of siblings that, you know, one started on guitar, one started on bass, and then at some point the bass player was a better guitarist, so they switched and things like that.
Both started on guitar. Yeah, both guitar, and I was actually pretty excited about the banjo, and Caitlin, I wanted to, you know, what? Take that as my new instrument. Yeah. Remember
really?
The first time, the first
you?
Song we played with it was It's Lost, and I played it.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was all pumped about it, but then she just yoinked it from me and learned way better in like a year. She learned it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who does what in the band? Who takes sort of the lyrics and music, and how does that work?
Caitlin, I write most of the lyrics, and but it comes out different every time, basically, you know. And so Lori's done written songs all by herself as well, but I'd say the majority I write. And Lori comes up with the musical parts mostly, or I come up with my own guitar part, but she comes and does a harmony and a cooler part on the banjo. And then Kyle comes down to the basement and just shreds.
Lays cool. down a
lays down
hot lick.
Yeah. First time through.
And same with Anna.
Yeah.
It's the Shook Twins, my guests, live in the JPR studios here on the Rhythm and News Service and streaming at ijpr.org. The new album is called Window. Let's hear some music.
We'll do a newer one that's not on Window, but then we'll do some Window tunes too.
We got campfire songs and mason jars, love lost ones tattooed on our arms, vitamin D and elbow grease on tap. That's what we got. climb the trees to meet the stars, 'cause the city can't keep them from being ours. Gotta get a gulp of the light before we sleep.
It's live music from the Shook Twins here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. So you guys both went to University of Idaho, right? In Moscow, Idaho. And so after growing up together, went to college together, and you didn't have enough, so you started a band together. Is that how it goes?
Yeah. We're the 20th twins we know.
There's still good chemistry after all those years, right? There's not been like a rift where you kind of have your own musical ideas. It still seems like it's
yeah,
a
musically
partnership.
It's definitely fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, and normally too. We get along great.
Yeah. And you didn't study music in college.
Mm-mm. We studied radio, TV, digital media production.
Yep. With an eye toward doing what?
Our original dream as we entered college was to be the hosts of the Travel Channel, have our own little Travel Twins show. But then we realized we hated being on TV.
And traveling a lot. Yeah, like that. Living out of a suitcase.
Isn't that kind of what you do now, though?
Yeah, we live out of a bus, though. Right. It's different.
I'm sure we'd have a bus if we were on the Travel
Channel. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Well, it doesn't necessarily come through in the confines of our studio, but for your stage show, there is a lot of technology that you guys implement in what you're doing. There's loot boxes. There's an antique telephone microphone that you do. Did some of that interest in those technologies come out of your study of media and technology?
Yeah, oh, sure. We definitely learned. We learned the basics of sound. We took an audio class and kind of got an ear. It was the curse, the beginning of the curse. Now we're sound snobs. we took like a basic Pro Tools class as well. And so I learned how to run a soundboard, and I'm our sound girl when we don't have one.
Mm-hmm. And it just, yeah, it definitely opened up our view of, you know, thinking outside the box and coming up with new ways to play folk music. You know?
Yeah, and speaking of that, your music is folky, right? I mean, it's folk music largely because of the instruments that you've generally chosen to play, but there's a lot more going on. Mm-hmm. What was the influence of musics that created the style that you guys have? What kinds of things were you listening to that brought in things to what you do?
Oh, man, a lot. I mean, like, we tried to just create our own. We've decided to create our own genre, which is called quirky folk, because we have all these weird things that we do. But we're just totally influenced by the new kind of folk movement that's going on. You know, a lot of the underground stuff is starting to get big. You know, like Arcade Fire, they're pretty indie, but they won a Grammy. Who else won a Grammy? Bon Iver. You know, people are in that folk kind of genre is really coming in hot, and people are actually starting to pay attention to that as opposed to the pop music that really doesn't do anything for me. No offense to anybody who likes that. It's great. It's fun to dance to. We're kind of rolling off that and getting really inspired by those sorts of artists.
But we listen to the Roots too. We were inspired by Joni Mitchell and Bob Dylan and the Beatles, and
then we're definitely into kind of electronica stuff too, like Bjork, and you know. So we'd like to bridge that gap a little bit, even though it's not quite. You know,
yeah. But. And do you generally have the same kind of musical tastes, or do each one of you have your own guilty pleasures?
No, we have
we really
like the same
exactly
stuff.
The same band. Yeah.
We like everything the same. It's creepy.
How did the beatboxing thing show up in your music? How did that get started?
That's all Lori. That started in high school. We were seniors in high school, and a cappella group called The Standards came through. Mm-hmm. They're like inspirational, motivational speakers and singers of old standard songs. So it was an interesting combo, but it inspired me. And there was a bunch of girls crowded around the beatboxer and just like, how you doing? What is it? Whoa, whoa. I was in the back trying out his you know, kick drums and stuff, and he could hear me and said that I kind of got the hang of it. And that night when they had a show in front of the whole school, and they called me up on stage to show my chops, and I did like 3 seconds, and I was terrified, but it was so exhilarating that I never stopped. And then we did a whole song for our choir performance, and I beatboxed for like 5 minutes straight. That's where I got the stamina.
Cool. It's another live session on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service. In the studio, the Shook Twins. Their new album is called Window. Can we hear another tune?
Betcha. We'll do one off that album. This is a song about a chicken.
Rose was born in the country, but she dreamt of the sea.
She
with the best friend of a cobbler's son, where they take, yes, they take care of their own. Rose walks freely through the farm, missing feathers from her plume.
Push from the flock, she
friend on her own. And does she know, does she know that she has a soul? And does she know, oh, oh, where we all go? Fire burns, yes it burns, and the garden grows. the water running free.
She jumped right in, tucked her feet, and took that river to the sea. How does she know? How does she know where we all go? How does she know? She has a soul.
Live music on Open Air from the Shook Twins here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio, also streaming at ijpr.org. That is music from the album called Window. Let's talk a little bit about the new album, Window. I read that you guys were doing a lot of recording yourself, a lot of demos, a lot of home studio recordings, and at a certain point just said, no, enough,
yeah.
Enough. We want somebody else to take over this part of it. So yeah. What was that realization like? And then who did you pick up the phone and call?
We've had a engineer producer friend that we've been working with for 5 years mm-hmm. or so.
That's awesome.
And we just thought maybe we'd try to do an indie garage lo-fi thing, but we were so bad at it. And
no,
we were calling
apparently
him.
We didn't pay attention in class
yeah,
at college.
Yeah, we didn't
suck at Pro Tools.
Right, like that was the kind of thing that you were sort of studying,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, kind of. But it was like, you know, they taught us the U of I had just the minimal, you know, Pro Tools set up, and it, man, it's a freaking sea of knowledge. And so, and our producer is so awesome. He's literally a Pro Tools genius. He has a school. His name is Brody Burkholz, and he has a studio called InDigital Studio down in Santa Cruz. And anyway, so we'd call him all the time because we just get stuck and it wasn't working. We had no idea what was going on. And we'd call him, Brody, so what, there's like a little wavy thing, and there's like a little dot, and there's a button next
there's
to
a button,
that.
And what button?
And how does it go? He would just laugh and tell us. And so we just thought, screw it. Let's just bring it to him.
Yeah.
Turned out way better.
So did that process make it easier and more straightforward to lay down the ideas that you had, or did it actually have an effect on the music itself, the kinds of things and the kinds of sounds you were creating together?
No, it didn't really affect it too much. I mean, we were trying to capture just a lot. At that point, it was just the two of us, and we thought maybe we'll just make a record that sounds like what we can do live, you know?
Just the two of us.
Just the two of us. But then we met all these wonderful people, and we just wanted everybody on our record.
That.
So we have
right,
10
got,
people.
Right, you've got like a laundry list of guest artists on the album.
Yeah,
so
we went the complete different direction.
And did that come about because of the ideas of your producer, or because you just met people and decided that you wanted to include what they do
yeah.
with
yeah.
what you're
doing? It just totally flipped after we just realized how much we sucked at Pro Tools and how much better it sounds with all our wonderful friends.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that I notice structurally that is different between the tracks that are on your album and the versions of those songs that you do live is that the album tracks are a bit more concise, and some of that has to do with how you have to build up your songs with mm-hmm. loop,
yeah. mm-hmm.
with loop tracks in order to kind of get them going.
Mm-hmm.
How did you manage to do the tracks on the album without that? Or did you pre-record loop tracks, or did you just play them live and then overdub?
Yeah, I did. I basically did a loop. He was just my looper. For Time to Swim, the first song on there, it's 42 banjo tracks because
wow.
he had like three different mics on it, and then yeah, I just laid down every loop that I do, and then he was able to like take them in and out the way I can't do it, which is way better, I thought. So yeah, he was basically my looper.
Yeah, you know, you guys obviously, especially from the last song, you guys obviously don't take yourselves particularly seriously when you're making music. So how do you balance that generally lighthearted approach and the fact that you guys approach this by just having a lot of fun making music with the desire to make sure that people still, you know, treat you as serious musicians, you know, where you're really saying something as opposed to being sort of novelty.
Mm-hmm. That's a great question.
We're
still working on that.
I don't know the answer.
I mean, you just cluck like a chicken.
Exactly. And yeah, it's hard for people to take me seriously after that. I mean, we just find that it hasn't been too hard. We haven't run into any troubles of people, you know, thinking that we lack the composure of professional musicians.
Yeah,
which is
good.
I mean, we kind of just carry that. I mean, we take ourselves seriously in terms of business, but not on stage. You know, we don't want it to be like a formal thing. I do appreciate bands that do that as well. You know, it's really fun to go to a show and have them just like blow your mind with the music. But since I feel like we're not the most amazing musicians, so we just really want to show people our personality as well as the music. So, because that's really my favorite concert, to go to a show and really get to know an artist. And you walk away like, dude, I feel like I just hung out with that guy.
Yeah.
And that's what we try to do, you know?
Well, that definitely seems to be what the buzz is from folks that see you live. You know, there are a lot of online comments of saying how enjoyable the show was or how much fun they made me have as a concert goer. So I think that's a testament to what you do. What is your affinity for chickens? What's the deal there with the chickens and the chicken songs?
Just met the best chicken in the world.
It's one particular chicken, not just all the chickens in general. So I do love chickens.
It's one special chicken.
No, it's not tasty.
Was it really alive? Was it yours or how?
It was on our old roommate. We're friends with her family, and they have an awesome farm outside of Eugene. And it's just she's just one of those little, you know, where you meet an animal and you have just a connection with them, and you just look at them, and you're like, I think you know more than I do. She's just one of those like old soul animals where she was an old woman before and now she's a chicken in this life.
She just looked you right in the eye.
Mostly it was with the connection with us and our old cello player.
Yeah, he woke up on the front porch, on the couch they had on the front porch, and Rose was sitting on his chest, and he just woke up to
she's just so cool. She's hung out by herself and mostly with humans.
Where does the inspiration come from for your songs? I mean, there's a story of one, but generally where do these songs come from?
Try to draw from different subject matter, you know, other than just, broken hearts and love. There's a lot of those, too.
Just
weather. The rain.
One's about a... Ting Ting is about a crazy... there's a tiny shack on a drive in between Portland and Sandpoint, our two homes. And there's a little cowboy shack that's since blown down since I wrote the song. And I just drove by it one night, and I... seen it so many times, and we always were intrigued by it, and I thought I just had this vision of like this. I didn't even have a pure like a concise vision of the thing or what it looked like, but there's this essence of something living in that shack, and the essence is named Ting Ting, so I wrote a little song about that. So just weird stuff.
What has it been like for you guys since the move to Portland? That musical environment of Portland, especially over the last 10-15 years, has been just really rampant with amazing music and amazing musicians, and that community is enormous. What's been the impact on the two of you?
It's been amazing.
We've broadened our horizons.
Lots of windows and doors are opening, and we're meeting lots of people. We're collaborating with lots of other bands too, with specifically Ben Darwish. We're in a side project with him. He's an amazing pianist. And we're just meeting people and growing together. And
The support for this, our level of, there's a lot of bands at this level, and we are all down. Like, there's no sort of competition, which I kind of felt sometimes before in Sandpoint. It's a small town, and each kind of fighting for the attention there. But here, we're all just like really in Portland. Everybody supports each other.
Sometimes, at least from the outsider, it sounds like there's one giant band in Portland.
Everybody just collaborates.
Yeah, it's just different combinations of musicians that create different product, but it's just one big collective musician family in Portland. Well, what are you guys hoping to accomplish next? I mean, this album is now six, seven months old, at least in terms of availability, but you guys were working on this even before that. So what's next for you guys?
We're going to hopefully start recording in the winter and just hunker down and drink tea and
we gotta write some more. We only have about six or seven songs to start with, and now we have to write some more, which is we're not that great at doing that.
It takes us a while to write a song. So we gotta squeeze some creativity out of ourselves and then record it.
Cool. The Shook Twins are my guests live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. Can we hear another song?
Yes. Yeah. What did we want to do?
This is our futuristic apocalyptic gospel swing ballad.
About an earthquake and surviving it.
A man of solid oak and his fine new bride found themselves a farm by the riverside, and everything has changed, yet it's all come undone. And all they have now are their hands in the light from the sun. Survive, they light their fire.
shake them down. Honey, you go build a bomb shelter in Isle Can the Farm. We could live this way for a long time, or till the earth stops trying to shake us down. Then a man that came from oil and with no knowledge of how to grow the things that you need to live, crept up their riverbank from the other side, stole everything they'd grown by the dim moonlight. And when the morning came, the bride, she wept. The man faced the empty farm and spit on theft. Said, boy, you better run, 'cause the earth decides. People made of greed, no, they don't survive. The earth is gonna shake, the earth is gonna shake. Earth is gonna shake you down. Yeah, the earth is gonna shake, earth is gonna shake. Earth is gonna shake you down. And what are you gonna do when the true time comes? And you cannot hide all the things that you have done. What are you gonna say when they ask you why you chose to live this way in your short, short time? Here on earth is gonna shake, earth is gonna shake, earth is gonna shake you down. Yeah, the earth is gonna shake, earth is gonna shake, earth is gonna shake. Earth is gonna shake, earth is gonna shake you down.
It's the Shook Twins live on open air on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. Caitlin Shook on guitars and vocals, Lori Shook banjo and vocals, Kyle Volkman with them on bass, and Anna Tivel on violin.